Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World, episode 126. I'm your host, John Jordan, and I'm very pleased to join me today. We have Daki Moriyama, who's director at Oasis, and Ryo Mashubara, who's a representative director at Oasis, Oasis being the Oasis gaming blockchain from Japan. So very pleased you could join me today, guys.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
Good. So we're going to be talking all things blockchain gaming and Japan today. Just a note that we're doing this as an audio podcast at the moment because the guys are actually being very Japanese and they're in a karaoke bar. I don't think they're going to break into song. But apparently, that's the place you go to get co-working space at the moment in Japan post COVID. So the internet's not very good there. But I'm sure that's fine. We're going to have a good conversation. So I guess the first thing is, I mean, I've said a few things. You know, obviously Oasis is a gaming blockchain because that's why you're on the podcast. Mm. And it's coming out of Japan. So could we get your view of you know, there's lots of blockchains out there, you know, thousands probably, and there's a whole bunch of ones that have a lot of games on already. So what's the thing that Oasis is doing that you think is different to sort of the other solutions out there?
Okay, so Oasis is the combination of the, you know, layer one blockchain and a layer two blockchain, actually. So we have double layer. So the solution comes out from our experience as a blockchain game publisher, as a gaming studio. So our origin, and our brother company has published the first blockchain game 4 years ago, but we faced the issues that regarding transaction speed and the high gas fee, especially after the DeFi summer. So then we explored the next, you know, chain, but we couldn't satisfy all of them, because, you know, for gamer, I think the gas, we don't want to think about the, you know, gas fee, and they don't want to wait the few minutes transaction. I mean, it should be instant, at least, yeah. So we wanted to that involvement, and as we were working with the Japanese IP holder, intellectual property holder, so we need the IP protection involvement. So using the layer two, so each gaming company can have their own involvement, like, you know, the naming their names, the layer two. So it can protect their IP too. Yes. So that's the difference between other chains, briefly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just sort of, it is interesting, I suppose, that there was, what you're talking about there, and you were working, I think I'm right, at Tokyo Double Jump, which was the company who did, My Crypto Heroes, that sort of, which was, you know, as you say, was
yes,
one of the
yes.
big blockchain games at the time on Ethereum. And it's sort of interesting that you went through those sort of struggles and came up with your own solution. It's actually a very similar trajectory to Dapper Labs, the Canadian company who did CryptoKitties, who sort of had a very similar experience. They sort of, you know, ended up building Flow as their own sort of blockchain for doing entertainment and games because they felt, you know, they had an experience and they needed to sort of build from scratch, from the ground up, their own sort of solution rather than relying on a more sort of generalized blockchain, which is obviously what something like Ethereum or Polygon is. So it's interesting that from different countries and different directions, you've sort of come up with the same thing.
Yep.
So in terms of, I mean, just quite early stages, I guess, for Oasis at the moment. Obviously, your mainnet's live, your token's live. You've been announcing games. How do you feel that's going? You sort of feel like you're sort of gaining adoption and people are interested in what you're doing and looking to build on it?
Yes, so we managed to launch our mainnet token last year, even though, you know, the market condition is, you know, awful because of the FTX shock. But we sincerely managed to launch that token. The price became higher than the public sale price. The price is going well. But we haven't launched any major title yet, and haven't released any launched our any kinds of hit title yet. Mm. So yeah, our mission is kind of help launching the hit title in the game in blockchain gaming space this year, and we are very confident that the successful model will be invented this year, because all type of the gaming studio is about to launch the blockchain game. So all type, is the gaming giants, well-known gaming giants. Also, a mobile gaming studio and Web3 gaming startups. So all three, type of the gaming studio is about to, launch their gaming blockchain game with some experiment. So with tons of experiment, the successful model invented, I believe. So we need to help. So we need to incubate the successful model of the blockchain game this year. That's what we're going to do. So and then we will really push about the Web3 and the gaming in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it is one of the striking things that when Oasis was sort of announced, sort of a little bit sort of came out of nowhere. I don't think maybe in Japan lots of people were expecting it, but I don't think I wasn't, at least. and some of the sort of companies that you sort of did that initial announcement with, and some of the companies who are validating the blockchain in terms of the infrastructure, are sort of worth just highlighting. So you've got some very famous Japanese companies. So it's got Square Enix and Sega,
yep,
and Bandai Namco, and got Gummy. Also, there's three of the sort of largest Japanese blockchain games companies out of Korea. You've got Come to Us and Netmarble. You've got YGG, the Guild, got Mythical Games out of the US, the Blanket people. So it's kind of interesting that you've sort of built this very solid sort of support at the blockchain sort of infrastructure level from some of these sort of companies. And I guess, I don't know, probably you can't say too much about this, but those companies are not part of Oasis because they're not going to launch projects. I mean, clearly those are all looking seriously at how they can use Oasis, and obviously people like Square Enix have sort of announced sort of some of their first more experimental projects. So how many games do you expect to be out on Oasis by the end of the year? Can you say
that? How much was that by the end of the year? So
more than 10. By the end of last year? Or
at the end of this year, right?
End of this year.
Yeah.
So it already depends. But
yeah,
we are working on our target is around 100, because the game itself is entertainment. It's very hard to predict which games will success. So will succeed. It's like a film. It's like a Hollywood, right? It's really hard to predict. So there's a successful late. So we need to have we also need to pursue the number, the amount of the gaming title. Maybe that'll be around 100 this year. Yes, we already have migrated the 10 gaming title and by end of last year, but we need more 90.
Okay, and it's interesting. Look at the sort of ones that have been announced. And actually, let's go back, because you sort of did it in your introduction. You sort of said, in terms of how the Oasis blockchain is sort of organized at a high level. It's sort of like a layer one that all the games sort of share, and then it has its own scaling solution. So what we call like a layer two scaling solution. But you've sort of organized that using the term versus. So you sort of have at least as it's sort of currently set up, is you have things like the Chainverse and the Homeverse and the TCGverse and the MCH for My Crypto Heroes verse, and those are interesting because those are the scaling solutions, but those are sort of being run by sort of individual companies, and so they have so almost you have it's almost like a sort of a publishing collection. So can you talk a little bit about sort of why you wanted to structure it that way? Because I don't think any other blockchain, at least sort of highlights the like an L2 solution as being sort of a way of curating sort of content of creating games. Obviously, in the TCG verse, there's going to be trading card games because that's what you expect to find there. So why did you think that was sort of a way of sort of structuring that?
Yes. Okay. So as I explained, at the beginning, so we adapted the double layer. So as to realize zero gas fee and instant transaction, we need a layer two. Single node layer two. It's almost like, how can I say?
Private chain.
It's a private chain. EVM database is like that. So the speed is instant. There's no gas fee because it's a single node. Because the incentive for in the node operation is not required. So there's no gas fee in layer two. But the data will be loaded up to layer one. So the security isn't in layer one, but we can realize the instant transaction and also the zero gas fee. So that's the reason we adapted the double layer structure. So we also believe the future of the multiverse future. So, for example, some company has lots of famous IP. This is just example. So, for example, Bandai Namco, they have tons of IP. And also, for example, the Gundam. Do you know Gundam? It's a famous robot. So Gundam has a lot of series of Gundam. So Gundam should have a Gundamverse. Also, Dragon Ball should have a Dragon Ball verse because the world is different. So the future should be multiverse. Then also the interoperability is also important. But each verse should have infrastructure and environment. But then we also believe that content creation should be centralized. So especially for the IP holder, want to control the IP, but data should be in decentralized place. So this combination of the layer one, layer two technology realize that. So data itself, it's secured in layer one, but IP holder wants to control their IP in layer two. So it's a combination of the decentralization and centralization. Yeah. Mm. So that's the reason why we adapted this structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting the best of both worlds, isn't it? It's sort of understanding where you want the blockchain and where you don't, where you just want a good user experience. But I think the really interesting bit is, as you said there, sort of you could imagine some of these big, these big sort of publishers having their own verses or these bigger games having their own their own sort of curation, their own sort of a place where the fans of that series go, and they know that's where sort of their content's going to be. So, how many verses do you think you end up with? Do you end up with, obviously, it's technically unlimited. You can have as many as you wanted, but equally, at some point when there's 100 verses, does that get confusing for gamers? Do you think? Obviously, at the moment, I think you only have about five, so it's not.
Now, currently, we're just having five, but. Yeah. We are aiming to having the 100 verse.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And in terms of, you haven't got any sort of games live at the moment, but you are sort of just going through the process of your first NFT mint. So it's a PFP Series 1. And you got Yu Suzuki, who's really famous from Shenmue and a virtual fighter, and Godtail, the artist, doing that, and some other people involved. So can you talk a little bit about how, about that sort of that NFT drop and what that means as sort of the first sort of assets that are going live on the on Oasis.
Okay, Oasis is a special project. As a narrative, it's the first NFT which is minted on layer one block Oasis layer one, and we wanted to make the NFTs for gamers. because there is a huge gap between traditional gamer and Web3 world. So we're assuming that traditional gamer and the gaming industry feels like they were outsider of the crypto industry. So something they don't know is happening outside of our gaming industry. Their feelings, we suppose though. Then so we wanted to make NFTs for gamer. So that's the reason why we have involved the legendary gaming creator, Yu Suzuki. Also, we will continuously involve the legendary game creator for future collaboration of Oasis 2. So that's the first first priority, the purpose of the Oasis. And this is a message. So we will be more friendly with the gamer. And secondly, so that has that the Oasis will have the special function. So that will be like a Oasis pass. So if you spend more OAS or our token in Oasis ecosystem, the some parameter, or you can get some points. So status in Oasis ecosystem will be upgraded. So upgraded means you might gonna have a early access to specific games. Or some kind of special rewards. So this is not published yet though. This will be like a pass, say, okay. Of the innovations ecosystem. So yeah, and also we also have another features. So that will be really really experimental project project. So. Maybe we're gonna have some really challenging NFTs, like collaboration with AI or XR, X reality, like that. So that's the first use case for game. So the gaming companies which will be used as a experimental project. Yeah. That's the
Oasis. Okay, cool. That's good. No, it looks super super interesting. And I just kind of, you're talking very much about you're sort of really focused on the gamers in Japan, and I wonder, obviously in sort of 20 we had Axie Infinity, it was sort of a sort of global hit, but more generally gaming is very central to sort of Japanese culture in a way maybe isn't even now in other places in the world. So have you found that sort of Japanese gamers are interested in crypto stuff and Web3? Because I guess in the North America and Western Europe, we've sort of had this sort of backlash from, particularly from sort of hardcore gamers who like a certain, particularly sort of PC console gamers who sort of for various reasons don't like it. Have you seen something similar in Japan, or do you feel there's a bit more sort of just interest from gamers and they're just kind of, if Suzuki's doing something, they're interested?
Yeah, compared to North America and Europe, Japanese gaming industry has completely opposite. So they're very much positive about the Web3 because think about their position. So before online games, Japanese gaming company had almost 100% shares in the gaming industries, but they lost their position. Maybe their shares currently the 30%, like that.
Okay.
Then so in, and also for mobile gaming companies, greed DNA, the huge challenge for in the mobile gaming industry. Mm-hmm. They did, but that was the era of the feature phone. Then after mobile, after iPhone came out, so Apple and Google ruled the industries, so they want to find another frontier. Then that's the first reason. Then second reason is Currently, development budget of the new title is getting huge. So for the mobile game, at least 20 million will be required. 20 million US dollar will be required for one title. But mobile gaming industry is kind of it's currently red oceans. Then successful rate is often said it's like a 3%. Then 3% for 20 million US dollar is a risky business right now. So they would like to go into, blue oceans because, they have ability to create good games. That's the main reason. And also they have good IPs. Maybe we have the strengths. In the Web3,
And I guess a lot of the sort of game types that are most popular in Japan, which is obviously sort of RPG, those sort of games sort of fit well into blockchain because you have collecting characters, leveling up characters, lots of materials, lots of gear, sort of crafting, collecting, trading, that you sort of have those features already, as part of those genres. And it's, that's exactly what, it's very easy to see in blockchain that you have those sort of things. So hopefully it sort of fits very well. More generally, what's the attitude in Japan, sort of at a government level to crypto? I've been hearing some things that actually the Japanese government sort of had some announcements around sort of standards for NFTs or thinking around how you dealt with NFTs. So I know previously Japan had been harder to run crypto companies in Japan. There was sort of more legislation. So do you think that's changing now? Is that sort of part of a wider, sort of change?
It's completely changed, and it is also completely opposite from North America. So because of the FTX incident, maybe US government is trying to regulate more strictly. But Japan, we had this similar incident 4 years ago. Then so Japanese government made a really strict regulation. As a result, FTX Japan was saved. Because they had the segregated custody, the customer of FTX Japan is safe. So it's well regulated. Then now government is trying to push Web3. Then they're trying to push the Web3 as a kind of part of the national strategy, because before Web1, Japan was so strong for manufacturing, Sony, Honda, Toyota. So, they were like a king economically. But, after the internet came, there's no winner in Japan. So government would like to, incubate the new industry for a Japanese company. So that's the main reason, they're pushing Web3 right now.
That's good to hear. It's sort of funny as you say having sort of worse regulations 4 years ago means you're in a better situation now than having laxer regulations. It's sort of funny how the sort of timing flips around. So it's good to hear. And I guess we've talked a lot about Japan. Obviously, the Oasis blockchain has come from Japanese companies and very much supported by them. But I wonder, how do you feel, would it be a success if it had successful games, but mainly it was Japanese players playing it? I mean, how do you, blockchains by their definition is sort of global. So I can see that, the games on Oasis are really going to appeal to Japanese audiences. How are you going to, at some point, build that out to appeal sort of, within Asia and more widely? Because that's I think that's probably the what you sort of want with games. You want games to be global, but that's sort of quite hard to do. What's your strategy there?
Okay, that'll be global ultimately. But currently, US market and European market is dead because of the FTX incident. They might gonna focus on Asia, in short terms, but in middle terms, I mean, you know, yeah, they absolutely wants to go global. Because in Web2 era, they knew. So they did too much focus on the feature phone. So that's the reason why the Japanese Web2 gaming company couldn't go to the, you know, global market. But, you know, blockchain is, you know, the global from day one. yeah, they are aiming the global market this time. That's what we believe. I believe so. That will be global. But currently, Japanese market is somehow hot. Maybe they're not going to utilize home, you know, their home country's market. So because, you know, Japan still have third largest GDP in the world, maybe they're going to utilize the home market first. But they, so maybe that won't be really domestic. So they would like to go to the global market too.
Good, good. And can you tell us, we've spoken about the next thing, I guess, that's happening is the NFTs are be minting. Is there anything else you can tell us? What else are we looking out for in the near future that's going to be happening on Oasis? Any pointers you can give us?
not in the NFTs. Not the gaming title comes up. Of course, be a gaming chain.
Yeah. When is there a rough date for when the first game's going live?
So we can't control the releasing date because we are not a publisher. But
okay.
By the first half we are expecting. Okay. But we can't control. Yeah, we know the decentralized. Yeah, we know the exact targeting date from them. We heard it, but we can't control. but I can say this year.
Oh, good. I'm glad we got some rough guidelines around that. Obviously, the place to be is follow you guys. You got the usual thing. You got Twitter, Discord, websites up. You can see they've got an explorer. You can see, you know, blockchain's live, so you can see what's going on the blockchain. So for people who are interested in Oasis blockchain, there's plenty of things to be looking at. Thank you very much to Daki and Rio. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you.
We'll have to come back at some point this year when your game's live, and we can sort of get a taste of how you've moved from a really promising project with lots of backing to actually having games live, and we can start to see the adoption. And I think it has been very interesting in this, how you have sort of, you know, several times said, you know, how the attitudes, the mentality in Japan are now so different from what they are in North America and sort of Europe, and that was so different a year ago. It's sort of funny how these sort of cycles change, and it'd be good to keep an eye on that. So thanks guys, and thanks to you for watching and listening to the podcast. Every episode we're talking to people who are building out this sort of a brave new world of gaming using blockchains, and it's extremely innovative, at least I think so. And I think, you know, we haven't really seen the start of what some of these games are going to look like and how they're going to build these massive communities. So please subscribe through your podcast platform of choice, and come back next time to see what's going on. See you.